and good morning. It is 9:05 here on AM 1240 KASO on a Friday morning, and it is time for this month's edition of Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox, who's in studio live with us this morning. Good morning, Mayor. How are you, sir?
Doing good, Mark. Good morning.
Well, it is a Friday, August the 11th, and I know on our generic promo that we run for this, it says first Friday of the month. Well, we were in one of those situations where it wasn't going to be the first Friday month. It's always the first Friday after a city council meeting, and this is one of those where the first Friday actually fell before the first council meeting.
So right.
Here we are. But how have things been going? Obviously, last week was a fun week for you as mayor. We're dealing with the power outage. Well, I'll kind of softball you that one to get you eased in this morning. Go over, we really didn't follow up after everything. Of course, we had the big blow up at Gilark substation. Power got restored pretty quickly, but there was some severe damage, and then became the when are we going to be out, when are we going to be out, and then everything was set. And let's speed up to Thursday night, Friday morning, and kind of tell us how everything went.
Well, you know, in the beginning, it was supposed to be a 24-hour to 16-hour shutdown.
Yeah.
And then as things went on, the concern about the heat, you know, had everyone trying to get a better plan. And so the finalized plan was 4 to 6 hours of a shutdown. And I was hoping we'd be sure to hit that target. And I cannot tell you how glad I was when we hit 3 hours and 10 minutes. That was a well-executed plan. And I think we fared well through that. A lot of people that were very concerned reached out afterwards and said, I didn't even hardly notice the power went out. It was so quick.
So, yeah. So was it one of those, once they got to working on it, things just moved faster than they anticipated? Or did they just kind of over-deliver on undersell and over-deliver kind of situation, maybe?
Well, and
just to side on caution, you know.
I think in wisdom, you would always want to do that. It's a lot better to deliver in 3 hours and 10 minutes and have a 4 to 6 hour projected time than it is to go 7 hours and 10 minutes and not be on target.
Yeah, because if you do it in 3 hours, they're going to be buzzing you at 3 hours. Hey, where's power at?
It's kind of funny. At 10 o'clock, if you don't have it off, people will call and say, my power's not off yet. Y'all said 10 o'clock it was going off.
And
if you say 6 hours and it's not back off, 6 hours and 1 minute, there will be people calling wondering why it's not back on.
Now, was that a coordinating effect when you turn the power off? They had to shut it off at Gilark, but did you have to do anything like at the steam plant side as well?
Oh, yes. And it was my request that we do it at 10 p.m. I really stressed to Entergy that we have all of our ducks in a row for 10 p.m. and we shut it off. And that was a coordinated effort. As soon as Entergy turned their side off, we had to, what they call, put an air gap in the line, which means the switches are open, and we had a visible air gap, meaning the lines weren't charged.
Well, this is, again, Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox, and the live line is open. Now, I will say, normally we do our live line on our local phone number line, but because of the nature of how we work with this particular program, and for simplicity on my side and without getting very technical, it's easier if I use a different number. Now, this number runs directly through the computer, and I can handle text messaging and phone calls as well. But the number is area code 318, which is a local number, 596-1590. Again, that's 596-1590. You can send a text message to that as well, and we've actually got a text message that came through earlier this morning. We're going to get to it shortly. But you can also call us on that line, or you can send a text message. You can also send an email to askthemayor@kbef.com. We had a few of those come through. Again, this is just beginning, and you have questions from time to time arise. Some will be more hot-button issues, if you will, than others that will garner a lot of questions. And then you'll just have the general questions that people may not know about things that work, and I will start with one of those. We'll kind of ease into this, and this one came over the email last month. It was actually the day after we did our initial Ask the Mayor program, and the email reads, I have noticed many of the sidewalks in Minden seem unkept. Some areas are difficult to walk on. not only because of the surrounding greenery, but also because of uneven surfaces. Who is responsible for the upkeep of the sidewalks, and why are they not maintained? And thank you for your response.
That's a great question.
That's a common question asked, too, I will say.
It's a common question, but it's a timely question. So historically, the sidewalks in the city of Minden are owned and maintained by the property owner mm-hmm. that the sidewalk is on. So if you have a sidewalk in front of your house, technically that sidewalk is your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Now, you'll notice the majority of people, when it comes time to spend their household income, they're not looking at their sidewalk saying, well, I could spruce up this public sidewalk. And so you have a lot of sidewalks. Minden is a beautiful city that has a lot of great oak trees and things.
Yes.
And the sidewalks and oak trees, they don't go together.
Not good friends.
The roots are buckling, a lot of them. And so the city council has identified the need for some pretty significant sidewalk repairs. So we did some research and sought out a company that could kind of handle applying for some sidewalk grants. And that's what we did on Monday night with Manchac Engineering Company. They're going to be pursuing sidewalk grants, and we're going to identify sidewalks that have a lot of traffic, particularly the rough plan is those leading to and from churches, the hospital, libraries, and schools, because we have a lot of people that use those sidewalks, and really and truly, especially someone like me who walked the city streets going mm-hmm. door to door.
You found out pretty quick.
You realize it's kind of a dangerous situation. And so the responsibility doesn't really fall on the city the way our ordinance is written, but we're going to do some things to try to find some external help to rehab some of our main sidewalk walkways.
Now, to kind of follow up with that, and I want to talk more about the Manchac contract in just a moment as well. That was actually one of the questions that several people had questions on that one. But as far as sidewalks that the city would take care of would be like downtown area, I'm assuming, would that be considered still the property owner responsibility on those, or would that be considered like a municipal sidewalks?
Well, a lot of the downtown around City Hall and the courthouse and Main Street, a lot of those sidewalks, if you look, they have ramps and they're more modern and in a little better shape for the most part. Those were redone a few years ago by this kind of a grant that I'm talking about.
Okay. But those sidewalks, again, are just the responsibility of the property owner. In City Hall's case, it's the city that maintains it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But downtown, it would be whoever owns the property front or storefront property, I'm assuming?
There's always areas where who's in control get a little bit gray.
It kind of blurs the lines a little bit. I got you. Well, let's talk a little bit. I had a couple of folks ask questions just indirectly about Manchac. We had one that was kind of concerned about it. The text message said, did we not learn our lesson on signing contracts? Manchac's not someone they want to do business with. Asked the mayor of Lake Charles, and apparently someone did not do all the research, so not real happy with it. But let's talk about Manchac. Obviously, they have a relationship with the city of Bossier, if I'm not mistaken. They handle utilities, right, with the city of Bossier, if I'm not mistaken. Well, not utilities,
public
but water,
works.
Public works with water. Mm-hmm. And full disclosure, my brother-in-law does work for Manchac, and that's on the water end, and that's about the extent of my knowledge of Manchac is that he works for them. So I have no understanding of what they do other than there was that relationship, and they've had some rocky roads with Bossier, but that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day as far as that goes. But let's talk about how you guys got involved together and what this relationship, kind of how it developed and where we ended up Monday night with the approval of that. It's a 2-year contract, correct?
That's right. Well, okay, that was an awful lot. But yes,
yeah.
I want to address it. So
let's unpack this dude a little bit at a time. Yeah.
I want to address this. You know, Manchac was presented to me and introduced because of we're so close to Bossier City. You know, that being able to be introduced to Manchac was very easy because there were so many different people that, like your brother-in-law, that work with them.
Yeah.
And so we met with Manchac and visited with them. The intent of using them is for them to apply for specific grants that we want, such as the sidewalk grant, Just things that the city of Minden, you know, we're limited on our manpower. We're limited on our resources. So we're going to need, you know, we hire a lot of external people to help keep the city running. And so this company was unique in the fact that it had experience writing grants and had success in getting these kind of grants. And so after visiting with them, they seemed like good people. We had it on the agenda for the month previous, and we voted to table it because right before the meeting, I started getting calls such as this question that was submitted that that planted seeds of doubt and questions in my mind. And so we pulled it off the agenda at the meeting, and I was told to go ask certain people certain things. And one in particular, I heard, oh, the mayor of Bossier wants Manchac out. Well, I did some research on that. And what I learned is he felt that way when he first took office. And now the city of Bossier can't run without Manchac. And so there were other people I was told to go talk to. And so you know what I did? I went and talked to them. And I was getting the same story. Apparently, there was one member of Manchac that people years ago had trouble with. Well, that's not who we're dealing with, and it's not the side of Manchac. Manchac's a big company. It's not the side of Manchac we're dealing with. We're looking for someone to apply for grants. The exposure of the city of Minden is $50,000 over 2 years, okay? Yeah, it's not like a multi-million dollar electric contract, which it's been compared to. There were fears that, okay, you let Manchac get involvement in the city and that you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. I said, okay. So I went to our attorney, and we had the contract rewritten in that month's time where we took it off the agenda and read it. And we had it added to it a clause that says we can terminate this contract just because we woke up and decided to terminate it.
So no cause needed, just if we agree to break it, we'll break it.
It's
no,
a convenience
no penalties.
Or some sort of that. You know, lawyers have these names.
Legalese.
Yeah, but it's a convenience. It's just a whim clause. If we decide to cancel it, we're through.
So basically, this company is are they a local company or are they statewide? Obviously, I know them for their relationship with the city of Bossier.
Their headquarters is in Baton Rouge. They have, I believe, a satellite office in Shreveport, and then of course the Public Works in Bossier. Those guys have offices there. But I mean, again, we're talking about pursuing grants.
Yeah,
we're not talking running our Public Works.
Yeah, I was about to go that direction. Other comments that I've seen just on Facebook, just doing a quick perusing, is there was concerns, are they going to be trying to jump in and take control of the water and utilities? And the answer is just exactly what you've spelled out in the contract. We're just looking for some help getting grants for public works type things, I'm assuming, is what you're looking at.
Well,
right?
The RAISE grant, you know, I talked to them about, I mean, I'll just tell y'all, I visited with them about one of my dreams is to redo the service road. I feel like if you're not from Minden, would you even know how to get to it? Especially from the Sibley side. You have to go around the Ford place.
There really is no signage telling you service road entrance. That's true.
And so after visiting with them, they said, you know, in order to do that, we'd have to pursue a RAISE grant to redo the layout of the roads, because we're talking millions of dollars to redo the entrance of the service road, if it can even be done. And so
we're looking at a road that was built, what, late 90s?
That's right.
97, 98-ish?
It's got good businesses in the school and the rec center and et cetera, but in my mind, I think it could be so much more.
Okay, I'll go off on a rabbit run with this one now. Is the service road exclusively the city's responsibility?
It's the city's.
It is a city. Mm-hmm. It's technically a city
road.
It's
the city's.
Okay. So I was curious when it came time for like overlays and things like that, it's on the city to maintain.
And everyone knows by pilot it's rough. And I told them just to patch it up for now. And the reason for that is the 531 bridge is fixing to be redone. And I don't know how much diversion we're going to get down the service road by default, like traffic, when that bridge is being repaired. And I don't want to spend any money on substantial money on the service road
If it's going to get a heck of a lot more traffic.
That's right.
And then you're right back in the same boat where you were, especially with 18-wheelers.
That's right.
Because that's what's got that dude beat up so bad right
that's
now.
That's right. They're turning into pilot.
Yeah, and that's just one of those, just the nature of the beast with a big truck stop right there. It's going to garner a lot of traffic. And it's going to be interesting to see once they get the new roundabout. I just want to see how people navigate it, for one. And two, just see if it may change any entranceway to into it. I'm assuming it's still going to maintain that ability to access the service road.
Oh,
right?
No. Oh, boy, it better. Well, I've looked at the maps. It's beyond the service road. So you'll fly off the roundabout and be able to hit the service road.
Oh, okay. Literally, I always think about that video of the guy that misses the roundabout completely,
just
ramps it. Yeah.
Right.
Every time I go through Homer, I always think
that's
about
bound
that.
To happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen at least once. And everyone says, well, you don't have to take your foot off the brake. Yes, you do. You have to keep your foot on the brake. Because you never know who's coming rounding about that roundabout.
On the ManCheck deal, also, just to ease everyone's concerns, we even had it put in the contract. In no way are they taking over our public works.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, I just can't be more clear. We hire people to do all kinds of things, external, auxiliary things for the city of Minden. This is a company we've asked to apply for grants. It was posed to me that we get several other engineering companies. So I went and talked to about five different pretty big engineering companies. I did myself.
Yeah, of similar.
Yeah, and they all said we can't do what ManCheck does.
We don't have the grant writers.
Yeah. We can do the engineering, but we don't have the grant writers.
So, you know, and tell you what, those guys they're worth their weight because they're able to.
Well, they get the money to do things.
Exactly. Now, while we're on that subject, before we take our first break, there was another. I don't have my agenda in front of me. There was another similar one that you approved Monday night with the economic development, but that one is completely covered through a grant. There's no exposure by the city. Talk about that one real quickly, and we'll take our first break.
That's the Delta Regional Authority grant, and that is a $135,000 grant that will cost the city of Minden $0. And that money is allocated to do a study that will show us the areas that we could improve on and give us a plan for the future of how we can grow, but all grow in the same direction. Because if you were to ask 100 people how Minden should grow, you'd get 100 different opinions.
Exactly.
This company will come in and analyze our situation, what makes us good, what we're weak on, and even identify the grants and the ways we can apply for these things. And then my plan and the council's plan is to give that plan to, in the future, an economic director to execute it.
Okay. So it kind of keeps you from spinning your wheels, per se.
100%.
Well, we'll take our first break, and when we come back, you can ask the mayor yourself. Don't leave it all up to me. It's 318-596-1590. 318-596-1590. You can call or text that number, and you can ask the mayor and get it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. But we'll be back in just a minute. We're on our first break here at 9:24 on Ask the Mayor, presented by Advanced EMS.
Your ambulance, transport, medical service, Advanced Emergency Medical. Fully accredited medical technicians, Advanced Emergency Medical. A Christian-based company locally owned. When you're in trouble, we're the one to phone. Our care and attention stand alone. Advanced Emergency Medical. Advanced Emergency Medical.
Innovative technology is an essential part of banking. B1 Bank has all the tools you need to make your banking experience uncomplicated. From online banking to the B1 Bank mobile app, manage your business accounts anytime, anywhere. At B1 Bank, you can expect access to innovative technology in addition to personalized services. Learn more at b1bank.com.
And welcome back. This is Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox on a Friday morning, August the 11th. This is our second edition of Ask the Mayor. And let's see here. I have a question I need to throw. Oop, that's the one from the previous month. It's what happens when you try to sort these things out. Someone had a question regarding street repair. Imagine that. Those questions never come up to the city at all. Somebody asked, when will Shepherd Street and Sibley Road be repaired? And that is a big question, because I'm sure there's a schedule that you guys have on a lot of these as far as prioritizing road repair.
All I know to do is be transparent with you. That stretch of the road,
Shepherd Street's a big who owns it kind of question.
The city of Minden and the state of Louisiana have been arguing about it. In fact, we met with David North, the head of DOTD up here, and he said, I argued with Robertson, I argued with Davis, I argued with Gardner, and I'll argue with Cox.
You can argue with everybody.
And so I just want to get it fixed.
Is it because of the junction with the highway is what makes it a
It's because issue? It was originally built by DOTD. It was originally their road. And to be honest, we have the deed that says it is theirs. And that was done. That deed was from the 50s. But we have, again, we presented all that paperwork. But something happened. I have notes on it in my office. Something happened in the 70s where the state of Louisiana says, you know what, we're only going to own roads that are state highways. Mm-hmm. If it's not a state highway, we're just letting it go. I don't know how exactly they worded that, but basically due to that, whatever happened in the 70s, which was before my time.
Yeah, before both of our time there.
Whatever happened in the 70s allowed them to take their hands off of it. Uh-huh. Then he, of course, said I could sue him and et cetera, et cetera. And that's when we got to the whole arguing with Robertson, Davis, Gardner, and Cox speech. And, but we have intent to just fix it. It may not be on the next year's budget, but it's going to be within a few
years. It's
on
the radar, at least.
It is.
Now, Sibley Road, let's talk about that one. Is that considered state highway there?
Yeah, the most of it is. Mm-hmm.
So that would be something they would have to take up on the state level to push to get
really,
some funds.
Really, a lot of, and I say this with love to the state, but a lot of our bad roads within the city limits of Minden, if you really look at them, they're not mending controlled roads. Mm-hmm. Most of our roads are good. And
Homer Road being one of them.
Homer Road is rough. Louisville Road is kind of rough.
Shreveport Road.
Shreveport Road's very rough. And on and on. You really get to looking. And the most of the complaints I get about road quality are actually state highways.
Yeah. And then that's one of those interesting things. You know, there's a lot of those that are main arteries of the city of Minden. Highway 79,
371, 159,
and then Highway 80 runs through up to Union Street. So,
right.
You know, it's just one of those unique things about our town, and just finished a we'll go ahead and give the pat on the back, though. The Germantown has been working, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I saw a DOTD where they're going to be doing some work just north of Minden on 159, if I'm not mistaken, about $6 million worth of work up towards Benson Road, I believe.
And you've got to consider, too, they're like everybody else. The state has a lot of roads to maintain, and a lot of people yelling and fussing at them, mm-hmm. too. We had a problem on Shepherd Street down by the Valero, by Smoking Jays.
Yeah.
We had a problem down there with water standing, and we talked to DOT about it. And like the next day, they were out there and they fixed that water mm-hmm. drain problem we have. And you'll notice water doesn't stand there anymore
exactly.
like it used to. Of course, now water's not standing anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. With all the hype
but
we've had.
Water on a road will wear it out more than anything, standing water like that.
Yeah, well, that and just that area in general, water's pouring out of that hill.
There's
all
some
the time.
Natural springs through that area.
Exactly.
Lee Street has them too. You'll notice it always mm-hmm. stays a little wet, even when it's hot.
Exactly. And now Lee Street, is that considered state as well?
Because all through of the way that state highway, and that's why that little strip of Shepherd Street was originally made by the state to get people from here to there, from
I
one
gotcha.
Highway to. It's like an interchange or
between Highway 80 and 3, what used to be old Highway 7, I guess,
but then,
is what it was.
Again, they took their hands off of all the connectors.
Yeah.
and only deal with the highway they're sitting.
I understand it, but at the same time, I don't. You know, right. They look at it as a short stretch of street, but they don't realize how much that short stretch of street gets
traveled.
It's
pretty significant to us, but we can get bitter or we can get better, you know.
Yeah, and I think there was actually some major repairs under just recently as the Gardner administration. They had to repair that area where it washed out right there on the close to the Union Street side.
And it took them a little while because they were arguing.
Again, yeah, having to argue over who
owned it. At the end of the day, you need the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's a main artery for the community. Another question that came in on Ask the Mayor, and again, 596-1590 is the number. If you'd like to email, you can send those to askthemayor@kbef.com. And this was an interesting one, and I'm going to read it just like it was sent to us. It said, would it be possible to make the red light on Pine Street and Goodwill Street a flashing light, not a full-blown traffic light, making the Pine Street flashing yellow and the Goodwill Street side a flashing red? Would be a suggestion. It just seems that it's out of date and not as needed as it may have been in the past. Kind of an interesting question, maybe a little out of your realm, more a DOTD type question.
Well, that's a great question. Everyone should know, I have no, like, if I seem unprepared, it's because I have no idea what he's going to ask.
Yeah, these questions, I should have mentioned that ahead of time. He hasn't seen any of the questions I'm asking him, so these are truly off the cuff.
The city of Minden has a couple of those traffic lights. I'm not sure which ones are ours. And then the rest are the state's. But I will say the intersection.
This one's by the Coke plant.
I know which one
they're talking about.
I think that one's there and it's in function at all times because it has some angles that's just hard to see. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's kind of a multiple. It's more than just four. It's really five if you were coming from the graveyard side.
Yeah, it's kind of like the intersection by the library.
I think it must have been very significant accidents there for them to have that because of the visibility. Mm-hmm. So I've not done any research on that particular light. I do know that Fiberbond requested that the timing of Irwin Thompson and Shreveport Road be changed because at 4:30 when all their employees led out, the lights were changing so quick, the traffic was backing up way back towards the railroad tracks towards Fiberbond.
Yeah.
And just as recent as this week, DOTD responded to me. And I sent it to Graham Walker, the response, that they changed the time and by our request. So we do, even though they may not be our lights, if we really wanted to, we could petition them to make some adjustments. But what they do is they do a traffic study and see for themselves through their data if it's a good idea to change the way those lights function. So we could, you know, if enough people really were concerned about that light, we could have them look at it.
Okay, real quickly, one just came off the text line here. Someone says, Goodwill Road and Constable Street are city streets, correct? Why haven't these roads been repaired? Of course, I'll defer that to you, but they're usually on city roads. Y'all have a prioritizing that you do on the city roads, correct?
Well, that's right. You have to look at the way that we judge these roads. You look at them, those roads particularly, you know, at times they're highly trafficked. At times they're busy around fair time. I imagine Constable gets pretty busy, busier than non-fair times. Mm-hmm. And school times, those roads are. But, you know, we kind of looked at it like, here's our strategy in the city of Minden. We wanted to repair all the main roads, the main trafficked roads. We wanted to repair all of those first. And then, because they're expensive, they're long stretches and they're very vital. And then we're going to go through in the next few years and do some of these smaller roads that aren't as heavy traffic because we feel like we can do, instead of four a year, or six a year, we'll be able to do maybe 10 or 20 a year with the same money because they're smaller. Yeah, so we're trying to get all the – so you see Country Club, East Street.
Your main arteries.
Towton Street, you know, all those main drags. We're doing those first because they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But these smaller ones, we're hoping to knock out many at a time.
Well, you can take that, what was it, just over $1 million on Germantown and probably knock out six, seven stretches of neighborhood roads real quick.
Yeah, something like Goodwill, you know, we could do that pretty reasonably. But, again, we're trying to do the big ones first, and then we'll start. You'll see a lot of the little ones getting done.
Yeah, and, of course,
that all takes time.
And that all falls under Terry Combs, who handles that. And, of course, our condolences to his family. He had a For those who didn't know, his wife passed away and his mother-in-law, I believe, on the same day or within a day or so of each
24
other.
24 to 36 yeah. hours.
So a tough stretch there for him. So our prayers
great guy.
And wishes for them. Terry's a good guy, and he does a good job of staying on top of the roads. And he always says if he could get these
While we're on the subject of the roads, you know, sometimes I'll see things on like Facebook. And for the record, I may not comment on everything, but I see it. We all do. But potholes, you know, if you have a pothole and it's our street or our road, the city's, we want to fix them. You know, we want to fix those potholes. So if you know of one, let us know, because we like to fix those.
Well, I know of one right there beside Brookshire's on Gladney that's it's been marked by the city. It's just a matter of getting the crews around to get it filled in. They've got it flagged, I guess, with a
barrier. Does it have a barricade over
it? Has a barricade over it. So that's a washed out spot. It's not a pothole. I actually stopped to look.
Exactly. Yesterday. I did too. And I think the situation, and you folks need to know this, in that situation, we're waiting to fix whatever the real problem is, then we'll fix the hole.
Exactly.
We don't want to just cover up the problem.
Well, if it's washed out, that means something's water generally or something along that line. This question came in via email. It says, for the past 2 years at least, the Minden Christmas lights, for example, wreaths on the Homer Road utility poles, light string Christmas tree at the corner of Elm and East and West, snowflake lights on utility poles on Highway 80 in town and wherever else they were put up have not been put up. And the person says it makes a big difference in the feel of the town, as mentioned with the new lights on the I-20 exit. And just was curious why those haven't been put up, if there was an issue with the lights or whatever. Just their opinion was that they got your answer. Yeah, they just kind of said it kind of lost a little bit of that Christmassy feel.
Well,
but go ahead.
It was real funny. You know, I took office January 1st. I've been in office 223 days.
Been counting.
And, you know, so I haven't had a Christmas yet where I've been the mayor. But it was funny. I got elected in November, took office January 1st. And I read on Facebook, someone said, we elected Nick Cox as mayor, and now our Christmas lights are terrible. You know, I wasn't even the mayor then.
Comes with the job.
I think part of why it was perceptionally kind of a weak Christmas decoration year is the fact our water tower was being worked on, and we usually decorate the water tower, and that's a nice showpiece for us, and it was being refurbed. But another thing, a lot of our Christmas decorations are old. They're dilapidating. The lights are burned out, and yeah, you can replace the lights, but the structures themselves. So we're kind of running low on Christmas decorations, and then you think, oh, Christmas decoration, let's buy some more stars. They're bound to only be $100 a piece, and they're like $700 a piece.
Yeah.
So you just I asked the state of Louisiana in their supplemental money. They gave us, I think, $19,000 for Christmas lights this year. And you won't hardly notice a difference if we spend all $19,000, because it just doesn't go very far. So it's expensive. I love Christmas, and I want to promote Christmas in Minden. I can't get it all pulled off this year, but my long-term plans are to make Minden a Christmas destination, because our city is so beautiful.
Well, I know with the Webster Tourism, they have us connected in this trail of lights at Christmas time. I almost wonder if there might be some grant money in that direction, or some money's available, or maybe that's where that $19,000 came from.
Well, we're going to leave no rock unturned, but it takes time.
Yeah,
this year it'll be better than last. And every year we'll work a little bit towards getting us back in good motion. We got a new Main Street director, and so we're working together. But I'm serious. The companies that provide cities with Christmas lights, if you look at their catalogs, you know, just a simple decoration you would think would be $100 is like $1,000.
Oh yeah, they're expensive.
It's really expensive.
I know our church does them around, and we've looked at having all of those relamped with just taken down, re-sandblasted,
and even
and
that's
cleaned up,
expensive.
And that's expensive.
You almost can buy new
to change them out from LED to, or from conventional lights to LED, is several thousand dollars.
Yeah, and people don't, and they'll folks will say, well, let's just sit around and change the bulbs, but we're not talking Griswold here, and we're not at your house just changing light. These things are a little more substantial than you realize.
I don't think you have nuclear power backup to go to when the power drain hits either.
That's
right. Of course, that is a big part of
it. I wanted to get one of those giant Christmas trees that had the LEDs that you can make dance around and put things on, and to get one of any significance is like $400,000.
Oh, yeah.
I think the citizens would be mad if we started spending money
on that one. Well, yeah, I agree. So now I will ask this. I know the past couple of years, Mayor Gardner had a Christmas tree downtown at City Hall. That was kind of a thing he wanted to start. Is that something you're going to try to continue?
I personally like a live one.
Yeah.
I would love a big live one. Of course, then you have to weigh out a lot of things, but... yeah, we need to be talking about Christmas right now because it's upon us, and I'm ready for those cooler days.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will ask this, with the warmer weather, I know sometimes you get the notices out about having to watch water usage or electrical usage adjustments. I haven't noticed any water usage requests go out, like alternating days on watering. I'm assuming the water system's holding up pretty well considering the dry weather.
We're doing pretty good. You know, it's been probably one of the hottest years we've had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been somewhat recent, if you think about it. Up until, like, it was hot, but in May...
We had a wet early summer.
Yeah, in June it was raining a lot. So we haven't really realized a problem with our water yet. It may be coming. But so far we're holding on pretty good, and our electrical usage is in line, even though those air conditioners are all running wide open.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a break real quick. Again, you can ask the mayor. Our number is 596-1590. Call or text. You can also email at askthemayor@kbef.com. We'd love to have you a part of the conversation, and we'll be back in just a moment on AM 1240 KASO.
Your ambulance transport medical service, advanced emergency. Accredited medical technicians, advanced emergency medical, a Christian-based company locally owned. When you're in trouble with the one to phone, our care and attention stand alone. Advanced emergency medical, advanced emergency medical.
What sets B1 Bank apart? They know the importance of strong relationships. Having a true relationship with your bank is essential. You can count on B1 Bank to take the time to understand your goals and match you with the solutions you need to find success. The growth of your business is your top priority, and B1 Bank makes it their top priority too. Discover relationship banking at its best at b1bank.com/business.
.943 here on AM 1240 KASO. This is our Friday morning where you can ask the mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox here on AM 1240 KASO, presented by Advanced EMS. And this is our second edition. We started it last month as a pre-recorded. Mayor said, you know, let's try this thing live and just go to the firing squad directly. And so far, I don't see any bullet holes yet there, Mayor. It seems like you're doing all right. So let's talk about city council meeting was Monday night. Of course, one thing we didn't talk about was some recognition that got sent out at the end of the meeting Monday night. I got to recognize the Dixie Darlings, and softball team won the Dixie World Series in their division.
I mean, how nice is it that the city of Minden is now known all across the country as a city of champions? I went down to Alexandria for the Louisiana Municipal Association last week, and people were coming up to me saying, you know, Minden's the town to beat with those darlings, those Dixie Darlings. And so we've got quite a reputation. I'm very proud to be the mayor of a town who has an 8-year-old softball champion. So people from all over the state came out to make supportive videos. I think that's going to be coming out soon, a supportive conglomeration of videos congratulating them for their athletic efforts. And also, I'm super proud of our rec center, and I just like all the attention it's gotten, the city, and our sports.
Yeah, they've really had a successful season this year. Of course, getting ready for the fall seasons. I think soccer and football. Of course, soccer and football kind of run the same schedule a little bit, but the fall sports are getting here, and that's a busy time of year for them as well.
The best part about fall sports is fall weather.
Absolutely. I tell you what, that fall weather can't get here fast enough. Of course, back to school has started. Doesn't really have much bearing on the city, as I guess, other than just reminding folks to monitor those school zones in the morning and afternoon.
It's amazing how much the difference is between when school's out and school's in, the amount of traffic in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize how much activity school brings and how much energy and life it brings to a community until school's out for the summer. I could jump on Lewisville Road in the summertime without hardly looking, but let school be in and I have to jump out as fast as I can and get a spot just to get out.
Exactly. I saw pictures from different folks with Glenbrook where it's backed up, and then of course right here at it's funny. I have a unique view of watching everything line up at Richardson when they drop off and pick up in the mornings. It was funny. I always laugh at how early folks get in line to pick up their kids at school.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen. I think the earliest I've seen is 1:30 over here at Richardson.
You'll probably see people fall asleep waiting to pick up their kids.
Yeah, it's a good possibility. I was trying to get my agenda pulled up. There was a couple of other items I was going to talk about, and my agenda disappeared on me, so I'll have to go back to it. But the two items that were the biggest of note were the two that we've already talked about with the two different contracts. Did some city of the city Minden Airport. Y'all had some a couple of items on there. Those were basically you're getting grant money to do the work, but you have to formally. The way I understand it is you have to go ahead and budget the amount that you're going to do the work. And then the next year you actually get the grant or something along
government
that line.
Government accounting is a strange creature. It doesn't work like your household accounting. It doesn't work like business accounting. It's its own creature. So you have to budget it prior to – you can't spend money that's not budgeted. So you have to budget the money, and then you have to vote to design the project. Then you have to vote to get a contractor. Then you have to vote, and this all takes a month after month after month. Then you have to vote to accept the bids. Then you have to vote. In this case, we had to vote to accept the money from the grant to pay for it all. So you kind of have to go backwards. You would want to, you would think you would go, all right, let's get the free money, the grant money.
Yeah.
Then let's do the project. Then let's design it. Then let's bid it out. But you kind of have to go backwards. You have to budget it first and then work your way to the grant money. So that's what we did Monday. We voted to accept the grant money.
And then there was a secondary issue that was attached to that y'all added to the agenda. That was the adjacent property, getting the adjacent property for wildlife control. That was something at the DOTD's request, I believe.
Yeah.
Or FAA and
DOTD. The desire is to build a perimeter fence, around the airport to keep anything out that you don't want. You don't want people out on the airstrip. You don't want people riding their bicycles or four-wheelers or walking it. You need to keep that airstrip free of any kind of live creatures of any sort, two-legged or four-legged. And, an airplane, I was told, hit a deer at the Shreveport
downtown airport
last weekend. So we don't want things like that. But in order to make a fence, you have to have property. And we don't quite have enough on one area. We need a little more land. And so I think we're closing on that next week, trying to purchase that land.
Now, is this where you just approach a property owner about buying a portion of their land?
That's
is that
right.
How that works?
Yeah, we bought several pieces this year. So
always a fun juncture dealing with the airport. There's always something going on.
The airport's a neat place. It's a big asset to us that a lot of us don't think about. But our airport is super nice. I don't know how many people get to go out there. I encourage you, if they have the car show again and the air show, to go out there. That'll be next year. But just look around. It's so nice. And the great thing about the airport, the majority of its budget is through grants. So
that's
it doesn't
crazy.
Really, it's not a huge burden on the city to have it, but it's a huge asset.
Now, what's probably the big, is there a revenue generator for the city of Minden Airport?
Oh, yes, there is. We rent the airplane hangars. So that's kind of like mini storages for airplanes, and we get residual monthly income on those. And we also, you know, if you fly in and out of the airport, you're going to need a little something called fuel.
Exactly.
And we sell fuel there, and we make pretty good money on the fuel. That helps support the airport.
And, again, there's just about, I always laugh, one thing I can always count on a City of Minden council agenda is there's generally going to be something addressing the airport. There's always little things that pop up throughout the year. Just about every agenda might have something concerning the airport, whether it be just, like you said, the governmental accounting stuff where you have to do things procedurally for the grant funds that you receive.
We have a really good airport manager, too. He handles business really well. You know, he's not one that has to be micromanaged. He's on top of his stuff. He keeps us on track with what needs to happen. He meets with the FAA and all those guys and the engineers that do all that. So he's really good. I'm super proud of our airport.
Well, we've got 10 minutes to go here on our second edition of Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox. Again, the number to call or text is 318-596-1590. The email address is askthemayor, askthemayr, at kbef.com. And you can ask Mayor Nick Cox, who's agreed to be with us this morning live on the air. And He's weathered the storm so far. He's got 10 minutes left, so you got your chance to take a shot at the mayor. No, I'm just kidding. the good thing is when there's not a lot of controversy, I mean, things are pretty cut and dry, at least right now. So that's always a good thing. But it's been really the one thing I've noticed, especially with your administration so far since January, is just the ease of moving in and out of the meetings. Get down, take care of business, and let's go home.
Well, I have been getting a lot of criticism about being boring. And in life, I really don't think as a character I'm very boring. But when it comes to the council meetings, I really intend for them to be super boring. The big thing we have going on right now is the budget. We're trying to finalize the budget.
Yeah, I was about to ask, how's that process going? Kind of in the final stages now, I'm assuming.
We're fixing to present it Tuesday, let's say the 16th. So I believe it's Tuesday or Wednesday next week.
Yes.
Whenever the 16th is, we're going to present the budget to the public. It'll be in my office for review to anybody that wants to see it. But we're ready. We've worked on it for months.
Now, let's kind of go back. I think we talked about this last month, but the way it kind of works is everybody throws out their wish lists of things that they would love to have in their department, and then the whittling begins.
You kind of start with the budget from last year. And then everyone says, okay, I don't need this anymore. I need this in their departments. Exactly what you said. We call it a wish list. Then we put it all in there, and then the mayor has a heart attack because the budget's like crazy large. And so then we start whittling it down, and we get it to something that I feel like, okay, now we've got it to something reasonable. Let's present it to the council. Then we had small council groups like quorumless groups, two and two and two, little small groups, meet up, and we worked on it. We had, I think, gosh, I would say, I can't count how many budget meetings. The council was given at least four opportunities to meet in small groups, and then the budget workshop last week. And the budget workshop last week, we ironed out the final details, and we're presenting it to the public. We're going to vote on it in September. And the budget's done. I think we have a better budget than they had last year.
Yeah, well, the one thing that's always a concern is when you have to borrow from reserves to balance the budget, per se. And that's always the gamble that you have to do, but you don't want to have to dip the well too many times.
We've been doing that for years, borrowing from our reserves. And you can't do that but for so long, and it catches up with you. But what we did this year is our intent is to borrow a lot less than we have been.
Yeah.
So instead of course, it's funny how it all works, but instead of the last year's budget had them borrowing from reserves at like $2.4 million. Mm-hmm. This year's budget that we're going to roll out on Wednesday is looking more like $700,000 to $800,000.
Well, that's a considerable drop.
Yeah. So we worked hard. We have a council full of business-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
If you really look at them, they're sharp, business-minded, conservative with their spending kind of people. We all want to stretch the dollar, but we all want to do what we do with excellence.
Exactly. It's kind of that fine balancing act. You have to walk the line of both sides of that. One thing I wanted to bring up, and we didn't talk about it last month, or actually we kind of joked about it, but the sales tax numbers continue to show strong, and we're showing above budget based on the financial report last week.
I blame that on two things. Inflation and the good Lord's blessing.
Yeah, you're right.
But somehow we're making it pretty good right now.
And it seems like the last couple of years the collections have been trending up.
Yeah.
I think some of it started with COVID and it just kind of carried over maybe.
I'm very glad about it. You know, our downtown is full. And so we're doing pretty good. I think if we keep working together, trying to improve the city from our point of view, I think you'll see continual growth.
I do have one question, and I don't know if I've ever brought it up, and I think I have, and it came up to, I think it came down to a DOTD issue there. Is the intersection right there at Walgreens? I've always had people ask, and I've always wondered why they can't get a turning light on the side by Walgreens turning on to Homer Road, because that's one of those, if you get there and you want to turn left, headed towards Homer, you can't get turned out sometimes because it literally backs up down Fincher Road.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And I used to live on Claiborne Street, so that was my main way to go. And then another problem you have at Walgreens is their turning lane, left and right.
Oh, it's confusing.
You might as well flip a quarter to see if someone's going right, straight, or left.
Yeah.
The problem you have from, I guess that's Goode to Homer Road, that's really a parking lot. That's really like a private, Walgreens, I believe.
They own it.
Strip there. So to put a turning lane there, DOTD is going to be hard pressed to put one like that.
Yeah, it's not a tricky public access. Yeah.
You could justify it more from Fincher.
Fincher side,
but there's a turning light there, isn't there?
Fincher
to, I can't remember.
No, there's no turning light.
When I get in a car, I just drive.
Well,
the
turning lights are on the highway 79
side. On just the Homer
Road
side.
Yeah. Now, the good thing on the Fincher Road side is you can turn right and get right out. You can turn right on red. But the problem is on the other side.
And we all know there's a lot of wrecks at that intersection. That's probably one of the main wreck areas there. But that's a DOTD thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've always heard. But as we get ready to wrap things up on this edition, anything else you want to talk about before we close up shop for this Friday?
Well, you know, I appreciate this. Citizens of Minden being so patient during the big power situation we had last week. I think on our end, we worked real hard. To be honest, I identified that we have a need for a little better planning for a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like last week, you know, I know I personally took a crash course in, emergency prep, who to call, who we can lean on, who our leaders are in the city that I can lean on for times like this. So I learned an awful lot about how to handle a situation like this. And if we get, you know, it could have just as easily been on that Sunday morning that our power went out.
And it was just out.
Yeah. And then we would have been reactive instead of proactive. And next time, I know who the people that are prepared, but I'll be more prepared for such a thing myself. Even.
Well, I know we got about a minute left, but in light of all that, is there any chance of maybe looking or investigating about a backup plan in case something like this happens again? Or is it just one of those, is it worth spending the money on the backup plan?
Well, a lot of people angrily said, we need a second tie. But we're talking millions of dollars for a situation that really, in all honesty, it's rarely happened. And in all truth, we got it turned back around in 3 hours. So do we want to spend $20 million on a 3-hour and 10-minute solution?
Correct.
You know, so.
And you know, again, the odds are in our favor on historically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree. Well, Mayor, we appreciate you coming in today. And, works better when you hit the right one. The music bed, not the commercial. But we appreciate you coming in, and I guess we'll see you next first Friday in September.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts is doing this radio show.
Well, we appreciate you being on, and you've been listening to Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox.